Overnight America, John Grayson here with you. It is a Tuesday morning on the program, and we're going to go out to California because of some very cool things that have been happening out there in the neighborhood around the La Brea Tar Pits, around Los Angeles. And we have with us online Robin Turner, who's the founder of Archaeopaleo Resource Management Incorporated, and they've been overseeing this find. And Robin, thanks a lot for being with us on the program.
Oh, you're welcome.
First of all, tell us about the area where this latest dig is going on.
Well, this is what's known as Hancock Park. It is the area where the La Brea Tar Pits is, so it's very highly saturated with petroleum. And so all the animals that lived around there would go and get a drink of water, get stuck in the asphalt, end up dying, and 40,000 years later, we end up getting to dig them up again.
And fairly well preserved, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. It's like what you would have in England or some of the other places in the world where you would have a bog, so it's pretty well preserved.
Now, I know that some of the earlier finds in the tar pits themselves have been not fossilized, but actual bone fragments and things like that that you would expect to find from an animal that was fairly recently dead. Are the animals that you're pulling up now out of Hancock Park, are they fossils or are they actual bone?
They are fossils. They're considered fossils, but they also can have their DNA extracted. So they're not mineralized that you would get, like if you would have a fossil that you'd find is very, very hard. It's still, like I said, you could still get the DNA out of it. It still breaks like a regular bone, but it is considered fossilized because of the age.
And this find was actually it was uncovered during an excavation that was not a paleontological pursuit at all, right? They were trying to build a parking garage.
Yes, they happened to build the parking garage directly next to the tar pit, and they they didn't think that there was going to be any fossils originally. But since I've worked in the area for 20 years, I explained to them that, yes, they would find some. We just didn't know how many.
So how far into the dig did they get when you realized, hey, we need to stop this for a second so that we can go start pulling these things out? This is way too important to just cover up with a garage.
Well, as they were digging down, the garage is about 35 feet deep, and we were about 4 or 5 feet into it when we started seeing little remnants of bones. So in around the tar pits, which is different than it would be in a regular paleontologic dig, that all the bones are like jumbled up, and you wouldn't find just like one part of an animal. You would find maybe 100 different animals and plants and shells and all sorts of things that would be jumbled up together. So therefore, we started seeing some, and they happened to be birds, and then I knew what it was. So we would delineate the area around it, try to find where the deposit was, and try to save the whole deposit as one thing.
So talk about what we've been able to find so far. The big news, I guess, is Zed, right?
Well, actually, we have 23 fossil deposits, so it's equivalent to any of anybody's listening to you right now. They would know it as if they went to the tar pits that you would do a little dig and you'd see fossils coming up. That's a deposit. So we have 23 of those. Zed is on his own. Zed was found in a stream bed where he died and fell apart, and we do have everything but one part of a leg. I think we know where that part of the leg is, but it's on the outside of the parking structure, so it'll never be disturbed.
And Zed himself was a mammoth.
Oh, yes.
And how big was he?
He's a typical Colombian mammoth size. He's a large animal. He's he's bigger than an elephant today, but he's it depends on if they ever reconstruct him, we'll know. But I would say he's probably about maybe 12 feet high.
And we do know some things about him, right, that during life he actually sustained some injuries that he got better from.
Yes. That does happen with the animals, that if they break ribs, like in his case, that they just heal on their own and he keeps going. It means one of two things. He was either in a lot of fights, and he could have been a very mean animal, or he could have been just one of the kind of guys that just got beat up, on the schoolyard. So you never know.
So there were schoolyard bully mammoths. That's interesting.
Yes.
Now, what happens with all of his bones now? And how much have we been able to learn about, aside from his injuries, about what life was like for him when he was still wandering around?
Well, mammoths can actually walk about 100 miles to get food. So what he's very interesting, and we like to have the big critters like that, but the real exciting ones are the small little animals that have a very small base of where they live. So a mouse, to us, a mouse or a gopher or a turtle is much more important than the mammoth. Now, I know that sounds very unusual, but a mammoth is exciting, but it's the little critters that will tell you what happens in the environment at that time.
We're talking again with Robin Turner, the founder of Archaeopaleo Resource Management, and they're undertaking this dig out in California, and 23 separate bits of ground, and they've actually been extracted. This is different from a regular dig because of the building site, right?
Yes. In fact, I designed a equivalent to a crate that we would take the whole deposit, so it would stay intact, out of the parking structure area so that they can excavate it at a later date, which is what the Page Museum is doing at this moment. They're taking one of my boxes and they're excavating it down. So they found a saber-toothed cat, they found lion bones, they found everything, including birds and little critters. Through this whole parking structure, which was very unusual, we even found trees and leaves and all the way to algae. So we have fed the mammoth all the way down to something as small as algae.
It's just a single cell. That's very cool. Now, tell us a little bit about your enterprise. I know you're online at archaeopaleo.com, so if people want to learn more about it, they can go there. But what exactly is Archaeopaleo Resource Management all about?
Well, we are an archaeology and a paleontology company, and we do cultural resource work for projects. So for instance, in California, we have the California High-Speed Rail, where we're going to make a 800-mile high-speed train that goes from Northern California down to San Diego. And so we're doing a section of that, and we do transportation projects and projects like this and for our school districts. And we also do home builders, which, of course, now everybody knows is pretty much defunct, since they're not building new houses anymore.
Yeah, right. But well, no one can afford them anyway, so it's all right.
That's true. What we do is that when an agency needs to have somebody come out to monitor the construction process, I send my employees or I'll go out and we will make sure that if the construction operators hit something, we will be able to record it. And that's what happened here with the parking structure. Not only Zed, because he actually pretty much got a crew cut by a scraper, but that's how we found the first deposit that they're working on right now.
Yeah, oops. So they it's not always a perfect science. Sometimes you do trip over these things and they can sustain some damage while they're being extracted.
That's true.
Now, talk a little bit about some of the other animals that we've been able to find here as well. We mentioned some of the birds and everything down to the algae, but there are some skulls and things that have been extracted as well.
Oh, yes. We have giant ground sloths, and we have lions and dire wolves, which used to run in packs, and they were very violent. So I always consider them our first gang animals.
And Grateful Dead fans will be very excited about that too. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And then, of course, we have birds of prey, because if you think about it, the animals would get stuck in the asphalt and then they couldn't move. So the other animals because it's mostly the animals that get stuck are the plant eaters. They're the slower ones. They're the ones that just are looking for some water and a few little pieces of grass to eat. And then when they get stuck, then the carnivores come out, and they come and jump on them and eat them, but then they get stuck in the tar. And so it's the whole ecology of everything. You have everything from stream beds, where you have little freshwater shells, all the way up to these animals eating animals, and the birds that come down, like the eagles or the other birds of prey, they get stuck in the tar. And so eventually get a little of everybody.
And because of that, it tends to be that the predators in the tar pits and in the area around that are overrepresented in the population, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's one of the very clear indicators that you're at the La Brea tar pits, because the carnivores are at much higher density than they should be. Usually, you would find maybe a few regular herbivores, and then maybe one carnivore every like 1,000 animals. And in this case, you're finding an enormous amount. So, if anybody of your listeners goes to the La Brea Tar Pits and they go inside the museum, you'll see how many skulls that are just up on one wall of the dire wolves alone.
Robin Turner again is with us, founder of Archaeopaleo Resource Management Incorporated, they're online at archaeopaleo.com, and they're undertaking this big dig now out in California in the area around the La Brea Tar Pits. So since it's not actually in the pits themselves, talk a little bit about the geology. What does the ground look like?
Well, actually, it is pretty much what you would call the pits. It's an extension of the same area. So therefore, it's kind of like a brownie mixture. That's how I try to explain to people. In a normal excavation, both archaeology and paleontology, the ground stays the same, and you actually excavate down and like make a hole. Where in this case, the ground was going down on all sides of us because it was the underground parking structure, and yet we would pedestal our deposits. Therefore, they look like individual brownies that were sitting there on top of the ground.
Does that make it harder to date because you're not dealing with rock strata?
Yes, and part of it is because if you work in the winter, it's just like street asphalt. It gets hard. So therefore, the asphalt is harder than the bone, and you don't want to crack the bone. So we were actually using jackhammers in certain times because we were right out there 12 hours a day, 7 days a week for 3.5 months. Now, that was a dig that could have and should have taken about 20 years to do properly. But because we wanted to save the entire deposit, we had to crate them, take them out of the parking structure area so they could continue their work, and we would be able to excavate later, which is, like I said, that's what the La Brea Tar Pit Museum, the Page Museum, that's what they're doing at this time. They're into one of our boxes.
So now that, I mean, there's 23 separate crates involved in all of this, as you mentioned. So because of that, how long do you suppose this will take to actually get through all 23 to the point where you're satisfied that you've gotten all the information you can out of it?
That could probably be 10 years down the line.
Wow. But still learning it along the way.
Oh, absolutely. We know we have certain animals in certain boxes because we saw them in the sidewalls of the boxes. So we know that they're there, but we didn't know how concentrated these deposits actually were.
And you said you're pretty sure you know where the missing leg is from Zed the Mammoth. Is that something that is in another one of the boxes, or is that something that's still in the ground?
That's in the ground, and it'll probably never be disturbed ever.
Really? Oh, wow. Well, we'll keep track of the progress of all of this. And if folks go to the website, is there information about this dig on there as well?
No, there isn't, but not yet. We're getting there. But what you can do is contact the George C. Page Museum of Tar Pit Discoveries in Los Angeles and the Hancock Park area. It's on Wilshire by Fairfax. And that... they should be up and running. I know that they have a blog going right now, and I know that they'll be putting it on their website. If they don't already have it, they will be putting it up soon.
Got it. Well, we'll be checking it out. We'll throw a link up on overnightamerica.com so folks can find it easier from there. And Robin Turner, founder of Archaeopaleo Resource Management Incorporated, thanks so much for taking us around and touring the site with us on Overnight America.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
You got it. There is more to come as we continue on through this Tuesday morning. John Grayson here with you, and you're on Overnight America.